Colleagues, our chair is engaged in legislative business, as is Senator Burdick. We have a quorum on the committee, and the work before us is largely to honor worthy Oregonians who've done great service for our state. I see in the audience that we have Senator Johnson, so we will recognize the protocol and ask Senator Johnson to come forward for the memorial for Bud. And is it Giener?
Ginger.
Wonderful. So let's go ahead and open a public hearing on SCR 2.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair, for your courtesy. By way of building the record, my name is Betsy Johnson. I represent Senate District 16 that includes portions of Tillamook County. Used to be all of Tillamook County, but yes. Now just portions. When I first started representing Tillamook County, one of the first people that I met was Bud Ginger. And he was a force of nature in Tillamook County. He died very prematurely, and we bring this memorial forward to honor a life well lived, a life of service. And Senator Boquist, having deep roots in Tillamook County, knew Mr. Ginger, knew his family. And I have asked Gary Albright, who is the director of the Tillamook County Pioneer Museum, to come and put a little more human flesh on the whereases, because Mr. Ginger was a larger than life person. And maybe one of the stories he will tell is how thrifty Mr. Ginger was in terms of retrieving a piece of lost equipment and the circumstances under which it was disappeared. So with that, Gary Albright.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the chance to speak before you. I had the privilege of working at the Pioneer Museum with Bud Ginger. He was the vice chair of our board. And to give you a basic perspective of Bud, he loved three things, and that was hard work, family, and education. And the hard work part, the story that Senator Johnson refers to, is he had his three grandsons next to a liquid urine tank that he was tightening a valve and somehow managed to lose the wrench in it, and he dove in after it. They thought he drowned. And he came back up with it and climbed out, shook himself off, and went back to work. And when he questioned why he would do such a thing, he said it was a very good wrench. And he was legend for that sort of thing. But it also should be said, and this is where I saw the great kindness in Bud, he always was self-effacing, but he was very much in your face about what he felt was important. But every morning, Bud would get up and dress and wear a shirt with a pocket and put a check in that pocket and come home that night without it. And sometimes he'd write that check for $50, and sometimes he'd write it for $50,000. I mean, I guess everyone knows that Bud gave millions of dollars to Oregon State University and large amounts of money to a whole bunch of other organizations, including the one I work with, the Pioneer Museum in Tillamook County. But he was one of those people that he didn't have any acquaintances. He had only friends. And when he decided you were a friend of his, he didn't just like you, he loved you, and he would defend you to the death, sometimes to his own detriment. And a great example of that was when the Pioneer Museum was gathering to decide what to do next with property we own along Tillamook Bay. We have 200 acres we call Kilch's Point Reserve, and we're developing it. And we had a board meeting out there to talk about what had been accomplished in a three-year period. And there was this long line of accomplishments, and the board chair asked why, who gets the credit for doing all this? And we gave credit to volunteers, board members, to employees, and to a number of granting agencies. But when pressed for a single person that contributed the most, I said that our archaeologist, Caitlin Heuser, had done the most, and I explained why she was the one who had individually contributed the most to what we did. And when she was done, Bud stood up and said, "Bullshit, it all goes to you, Gary, because you hired her." And that was his defense of me. And that he was that guy. He saw that the greatness in his friends should be exalted at all times. He did do a number of things in the community that really mattered. And he was involved heavily in things like Kiwanis. And I don't think I ever saw Bud smile as much as he did when he read with the kids with the smart reading program. He was usually on a task, but he would let it all go when he worked with the kids. And he loved to go out to a place like Kilch's Point and corner visitors and ask them if they know what bird's foot trees foil is and such things. He loved the idea of nitrogen fixing plants. He was one of those guys that was larger than life, a force of nature, as Senator Johnson said. But he also was a kind and considerate man. And we had disagreements often, but he felt that if you had a work ethic and a chainsaw, you could do anything.
We would commend this bill for your consideration to honor an iconic member of the Tillamook family. Thank you.
Thank you.
Great. Well, thank you both for your testimony. Members, any questions or comments?
No, except that I'm on the bill. So I suppose
I
have a conflict of interest because I actually got scolded for him by one day when our cows went down and started eating the flowers down at his house. I've been by for over 50 years. And I mean, this is a force of nature, is the right thing. And the one thing, seeing this is an odd moment because I've known him for 50 years. I know all the family members, so on and so forth like that. They live literally right across the street from where I grew up and born and raised. I mean, right across the street down in the Tide Flats. And until the day of the memorial that Senator Johnson and I attended, I didn't know he'd ever been in the military. I didn't know he'd been a first lieutenant and served in the United States Army because he never mentioned it. But then my father never mentioned his service either for almost the entire time. So thank you very
much, Senator. Very much for your consideration.
Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you both. Okay, members, I think we opened a public hearing and a work session, correct?
That's correct, Madam Chair.
And yes, why don't I do that? I'll close the public hearing, open a work session. And Senator Farrioli?
Madam Chair, I have the honor to move SCR2 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation.
Senator Farrioli has moved SCR2 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation. Is there any discussion? Any objection to the motion? Motion carries. And Senator Boquist, would you like to carry this on the floor?
Maybe Senator Johnson.
Or Senator Johnson.
Co-carry.
Why don't we, Madam Chair, with your indulgent, co-carry?
Okay, we'll ask you both to co-carry on the floor.
Thank you.
And we'll close the work session on SCR2 and open a public hearing on Senate Bill 333. Erin, would you tell us about this?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Senate Bill 333 designates March 22nd of each year as Tom McCall Day to commemorate Governor McCall and encourage school districts to educate children about Governor McCall's legacy.
Great. And it looks like we have Senator Johnson on this as well.
Madam Chair, I saved myself a trip back to the seat to only come back again, but I have with me the person who requested the bill, Commissioner Hall from Lincoln County. And
to run the PowerPoint.
Let me trade places with you. Thank you. I would just add that I had the privilege of knowing Governor McCall. My parents and the McCalls were friends from World War II on. I used to go with my father sometimes down to the house under the Rim Rocks where Mother McCall, Dorothy McCall, was. One never knew whether one was going to be greeted with a gin and tonic or a shotgun. A colorful, iconic family that contributed much to the character of our state, and I was so pleased when the commissioner asked me to get this bill drafted. I did so with the concurrence and approval of the representative and senator from Lincoln County, and so they know that we're here. Representative Gomberg is actually chairing my subcommittee right now.
Great. Please go ahead.
Thanks very much. I am Bill Hall, in my third term currently as a Lincoln County Commissioner. I have this very brief presentation about the bill and the basics. You probably already know that Tom McCall was our 30th governor, a distinguished journalist and commentator, both before and after his governorship, born in 1913, died in 1983. I think you already know about all the signature achievements of the McCall era, and probably his most famous quote, "to visit but don't stay." But actually, here is a Tom McCall quote I like better. Talking to the great journalist Studs Terkel, maybe about a year before he passed away, he said, "Heroes are not giant statues framed against a red sky. There are people who say, this is my community, it's my responsibility to make it better. So I really think by declaring Tom McCall Day and encouraging school districts to educate young people about his legacy, not only are you honoring Tom McCall, you're honoring people like Richard Chambers. A couple of years ago, I spent a great hour with Senator Vicky Berger learning about Mr. Chambers, her father, who basically launched a three-year one-man campaign to get the bottle bill passed. And there he is receiving an honor from Governor McCall not long before he passed away. Don Jarvie, who was a young man on Governor McCall's staff when the gas crisis hit, driving home one night, saw a scene like that, had the bright idea, what if we set up the odd even gas rationing system? It was ran through the governor's office the next day and was announced as state policy that night. Lee Meyer and three other young people who in the awful summer of 1970, with violence being threatened in Portland with the coming of the American Legion Convention, came to the governor's office with the crazy idea that the state of Oregon sponsor a rock festival to draw the potential conflict away from Portland, and it worked. Hector McPherson, Linn County dairy farmer, and one of your predecessors in the state Senate who saw the way that unchecked sprawl could threaten prime farmland and became the principal author of Senate Bill 100, and that's the McPherson Dairy Barn. Matt Kramer, the Associated Press reporter who pretty much is credited single-handedly with keeping the beach bill alive in 1967 and in the public's eye after it had been tucked away in committee. So as I mentioned, there is already a curriculum that's been developed. It's hosted by the Oregon Historical Society called Tom McCall, A Better Oregon, that will touch on both these subjects, these people, and many more. And that's what it's about. So if you have any questions, I'd be glad to try to answer them.
Great. Well, thank you very much for your testimony. Members, any questions?
Mm-mm. Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Burdick.
Just an observation. I was a Cub reporter when in the very last years of Governor McCall's governorship, and I actually wrote the career recap story for the Associated Press when he left office.
Oh,
and
that's great.
I think the most important lesson I learned from Tom McCall is a good idea is a good idea, and you don't have to come up with all of them yourself.
Very good.
Great. Thank you, Senator Burdick. Thank you both for your testimony.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And committee, just for your general knowledge, the commissioner is writing a book on Governor McCall that will be available soon, and I'm sure we'll all look forward to reading it.
Oh, definitely.
Thank you.
Thank you again. And we have one more witness, and that's Jason Miner, if you'd like to come forward. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Senate Rules Committee.
Good afternoon, Chair Rosenbaum, members of the committee. I'm happy to be here. I'm Jason Miner. I'm the executive director of 1,000 Friends of Oregon. I'm getting used to the new microphones. And I'm here to testify in favor of SB 333. I do want to make one observation, and that 2 years ago, closing in on March 22nd, I was at home on March 22nd, the 100th anniversary of McCall's birth, because it was also, in addition to being hopefully Tom McCall Day, it was Margot Miner Day, the day my second daughter was born, on the exact 100th anniversary of Tom McCall's birthday. So, you know, as the sitting executive director of 1,000 Friends of Oregon, with deep ties to the McCall legacy, there had been a pool running in our office as to whether or not she would actually be born on that day, and it was a surprise to us. I have to say also, you know, it was a very emotional moment. And I said to a lot of people in the wake of Margot's birth, I can't imagine a better way to tie Oregon's past to its future, in my mind, than to know that my daughter was born on the 100th anniversary, the centennial of his birthday. I would offer that the bill offered today, perhaps, is that better way to tie Oregon's past to its future, to commemorate Governor McCall. And I think in commemorating him, to commemorate all of those who work in a spirit of creativity and bipartisanship that he embodied. I have often thought we might weigh in on the issue of Oregon statue in the U.S. Capitol with the joy that it would bring me to send out a 1,000 Friends of Oregon newsletter entitled "Please Send a Republican to the U.S. Capitol," I think that this too, meets that standard of joy and celebration of an important Oregonian. Thanks so much. I'm open to take any questions.
Great. Thank you for that great story. And members, any questions?
I'm not sure. I'd be more moved if we were seeing the press release involving a live Republican.
Jack, what you get? Though he is the leader on our side, I just want to say I would recommend you not do that. You might lose members.
Okay. Thank you very much for your testimony.
Thank you.
Okay. And I'll close the public hearing and open a work session on Senate Bill 333, Senator Farioli.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 333 to the floor with a do pass recommendation.
Senator Farioli has moved Senate Bill 333 to the floor with a do pass recommendation. Is there any discussion on his motion? Any objection to the motion?
Nope.
Motion carries. And we will ask Senator Johnson.
Madam Chair, I might, if you would allow me, defer to Senator Burdick. I didn't know until this moment that she had written that recap story, and I would be happy to close as a co-carrier.
Oh, great. Okay, why don't we ask Senator Burdick and Senator Johnson to co-carry on the floor then. Thank you.
Thank you for the courtesy.
And we'll close the work session. And we will open a public hearing on Senate Resolution 1. Erin.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, SR1 is a memorial to Christine Poole Jones. Just for your clarification, members, there is an amendment to that memorial. It just clarifies the last name of her surviving sister.
Okay. Okay, thank you, Erin. And we've been joined by Senator Shields and Representative Frederick. And whichever of you would like to go first, please go ahead.
Senator said that I can go first. Thank you. I'm Lou Frederick, State Representative, District 43. That's North and Northeast Portland. I am really pleased to be able to bring this forward, but saddened that we are bringing it forward. Chris Poole Jones was a very good friend of mine, and she was an extraordinary woman. And if you did not get a chance to meet her, that is a loss for you and for lots of folks, unfortunately. She worked behind the scenes as one of the major librarians in the Portland Public Schools, but she was also a neighbor of mine. She only lived three blocks away from me. I got a chance to see her on a regular basis, working with kids, working with the community, working with her church, and her sorority. She was quite a force. I would invite you, if you get a chance, to come to Portland and go to the corner of Northeast Ainsworth and Albina, and you will find what was an old gas station. And that gas station is now a LEED-certified solar-powered clubhouse for the Deltas, a sorority that Chris Poole Jones spent a great deal of time working on. But it took her quite a while to get that done, a decade or more, just so that she could, in fact, turn that gas station into something that was effective. It meant working with the Portland Development Commission, with the City of Portland, with all sorts of groups, but she got it done. And she was an extraordinary woman, and it is an appropriate thing for us to give a memorial to her. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Chip Shields. I represent North and Northeast Portland in the Oregon State Senate. Christine Poole Jones was a very humble person in that you would never see her, out front leading a charge, getting in front of cameras, but she just quietly and methodically got things done in our community in so many ways. And I remember when she came and asked for an appointment regarding the June Key Delta Center, and she had this, blueprint and really an incredible plan and they needed, millions of dollars. And I made a couple of phone calls, and I was like, well, that'll be the end of that. I just can't see how anybody's going to be able to pull this off. And she would have to get cooperation from the Portland Development Commission, which has its own, challenges to get through, and another board to approve the funding request. But 3 years later, I got invited to a groundbreaking. I was just amazed that they were able to do it. So she really is a true giant in our community, and I thank you very much for taking this up. And I know it will mean quite a lot to their family that we're honoring her in this way.
Great. Well, thank you for both for introducing and telling us about her. She sounds like a remarkable woman, and we're glad to be able to honor her in this way. Okay. Thank you. Did we have anybody else signed up to testify?
We do not.
Okay. Then I will close the public hearing on Senate Resolution 1, open a work session on SR 1. Senator Farrioli.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Are we adopting the Dash 1 amendment?
I think we are, yes.
Madam Chair, I move to adopt the Dash 1 amendment to SR 1.
Senator Farrioli has moved to adopt the Dash 1 amendment to SR 1. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing and hearing none, that motion carries. The amendment is adopted.
Chair, I'm going to roll here. I'm going to move that we move SR 1 as amended to the floor with a be adopted recommendation.
And Senator Farrioli has moved SR 1 as amended to the floor with a be adopted recommendation. Is there any discussion on the motion? Is there any objection? Hearing none, the motion carries, and we will ask Senator Shields to be our carrier on the floor. And I will close the work session on SR 1 and open a public hearing on Senate Concurrent Resolution 3. And we have quite a few people signed up to testify. We'll start with Senator Dembro.
And Madam Chair, members of the committee, SCR 3 recognizes contributions and sacrifices of Peace Corps volunteers from Oregon and throughout the United States.
Good afternoon, Senator Dembro.
Hello. Welcome. Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Yes, and members of the committee, it's a pleasure to be here to present this concurrent resolution, which honors returning members of the Peace Corps Association, those who have come from or returned to or moved to Oregon. Let me just say something about the genesis of this resolution. It had its birth at an event that happened at Clackamas Community College last spring, where there was an exhibition of the history of the Peace Corps in America. It's part of a traveling exhibit marking the 50th anniversary of the Peace Corps, which, as you know, was born in the early 60s through a call to action on the part of then President Kennedy. I was asked to address the group to recognize that. I myself have never been in the Peace Corps, but I have, I've worked abroad, and I have, certainly had a lot of contacts with people in the Peace Corps abroad, and certainly those who've returned here, and have a lot of admiration for them. After that presentation, I was approached by someone who said, I don't think that the Oregon legislature has ever had a resolution or somehow acknowledged the contributions that are quite significant of Peace Corps volunteers from Oregon. And boy, it really would be great to do that. It would send a really powerful message to Peace Corps veterans. So I actually did a little research following that with the National Peace Corps Association, which organizes returning Peace Corps members, and realize that Oregon is really quite noteworthy among the states for the number of Peace Corps volunteers that it produces and the number of people who have returned and been active in the association. And I used the fruits of that research to put this resolution together. And, as is, always the case with these things, the meat is in the whereases here, which really lay out the really impressive contributions that the Peace Corps volunteers have made. And, I will point out that just the last two to you, whereas returning Peace Corps volunteers have served to bridge cultures and boost business between citizens of their service countries and citizens of the United States, and whereas the contributions and sacrifices of Peace Corps volunteers are not widely recognized, now, therefore, we recognize them. So that's the gist of this. I'm going to be followed by some of the Peace Corps returnees, and I think you'll find their stories inspiring and impressive. So with that, I'd be open to any questions.
Thank you, Senator Denbrough, for your testimony and for bringing this to us. Any questions for Senator Denbrough? Okay, I don't see any, so thank you again.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. And I need to go back to my committee next door, but I know you will hear some good testimony.
We'll take good care of the witnesses. Okay, thanks again. And it looks like we have three people signed up to testify on this bill, and we can put three chairs up here. So why don't we call them all together? They are Chuck McConnell, Gordon Young, and Robert Thornhill. And if the three of you would all like to come forward.
On the outside. You're senior.
Great. Well, welcome to our Senate Rules Committee, and I think you heard the introduction on SCR3, and we're looking forward to hearing your stories.
Shall I begin?
Sure. Yeah, you have.
My name, for the record, is Chuck McConnell. I'm from Portland. Chair Rosenbaum, members of the committee, thanks for this opportunity to speak in support of Senate Concurrent Resolution 3. I'm a bit of an outsider here in that I don't have the privilege to vote for any of you. It's a near miss for Senator Burdick, about a mile, but districts are districts. So background first. I am a returned Peace Corps volunteer. I served as an older volunteer in Ukraine 2008 to 2010. Peace Corps recycles used volunteers, and I had the opportunity to be recycled with Peace Corps back to Ukraine in 2011. I'm a member of the Columbia River Peace Corps Association, which is the return volunteer group that serves a constituency that's sort of within 30 miles of the Columbia River from Hood River West. And I'm a member of the board of directors of the National Peace Corps Association. I care about Peace Corps and Peace Corps volunteers, prospective, serving, and returned. So I'm here to encourage you to support this move that would recognize Peace Corps volunteers and their connection to Oregon. The proposed concurrent resolution has a lot of numbers and information, and whereas from Senator Denbrough or your staffers, and that's all good, they're solid, but I think this is more important. And I think, Senator Boquist, you may have insight on the rest of this, on this, that the rest of us may not. The world is a complicated, dangerous, unstable place. And there are values, American values of civil society, that we as a nation wish to project into that world because we believe that it will make it safer, more stable, more secure. There are probably three ways to project those values. We can put boots on the ground. It's pretty expensive. We can put wingtips on the ground, Foreign Service officers. Still pretty expensive. Or we can put sandals on the ground, Peace Corps volunteers, person-to-person connections. I think they're more efficient, more effective. They help to make the world more stable and safer. But let me connect this to Oregon. But to get there, I need first to go to the 1980s in Alaska. I lived there, and at that time there was a popular bumper sticker in Alaska that said, "Alaska is what America was." I'm a relatively new Oregonian. I came here about 4 years ago after Peace Corps. And as I've settled in here, I've reflected on that bumper sticker and thought that there should be a bumper sticker that says, "Oregon is what America will be," or at least that we hope it will be. I think we all know and even occasionally joke about the fact that among states, Oregon is an outlier. Certainly, the presentation on Governor McCall reminded us of that. But I think that in many ways, we are more American than the rest of America. I've lived in 10 states, and because of work, I've traveled extensively close to the ground in all 50. And I know that it is different here. Some of this came over on the Oregon Trail. I can't claim it. I'm a newcomer. But we solve problems with the resources that we have. We are self-sufficient. When we have political differences, we work them out. That's what you guys do every day, and your staff does year-round when you're not here. Because I have special interest in this particular area, I can tell you that Oregon is a national leader in the application of mediation in small claims court, all the way through mortgage foreclosures up to medical malpractice. This is a foundation of civil society. We work things out. This is the American value that we fully realize in Oregon. And any returned Peace Corps volunteer will tell you that, yeah, we dig wells, we help in clinics, we do stuff like that. But the main thing that a Peace Corps volunteer does is to project American values. And I would posit today that those are Oregon values. Finally, I'm connecting back to why this resolution is important. They're American values, certainly, but I think they're more fully realized now in Oregon. This is the reason that you should recognize the work of Peace Corps volunteers, because they carry Oregon values to the world, and they bring the world back to us. I encourage you to support this measure. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. I think we'll hear from all three of you before we open it up, so please go ahead.
Thank you, Gordon.
Absolutely. I actually only need one of those microphones.
He needs both.
Chair Rosenbaum, Senators, my name is Robert Thornhill. I live in Beaverton. I've submitted written testimony. As a Peace Corps volunteer, I served 2 years, 96-98, on the faculty of the Latvian Maritime Academy in Riga, Latvia. I appear in support of Senate Concurrent Resolution 3. Ever since President Kennedy uttered those famous words, "My fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country," millions of Americans responded in a variety of ways. Over 200,000 chose the Peace Corps path. Peace Corps volunteers have gone forth to underdeveloped countries around the world as living examples of the best of America and of our values and of what America had to offer to improve their lives. Peace Corps volunteers have made a difference for the better in lives of millions. I saw the good work of Peace Corps volunteers long before I considered becoming one. Indeed, what I saw of their work prompted me to eventually become a Peace Corps volunteer. I believe it only fitting that the people of Oregon, through their legislatures, through you, recognize the contribution not only of Oregon volunteers, but of all volunteers across America. I know this recognition will be appreciated by those who have served. I thank Senator Dimbrough and the several co-sponsors for introducing this resolution. At the same time, I want to publicly thank the Peace Corps for providing me an opportunity to serve my country and the people of Latvia after I had retired. I benefited much from that opportunity. I say to those of my generation who are retired in good health, I urge them to consider the Peace Corps. I urge this committee to approve this resolution. When and if acted, I believe it will prompt many Americans, both old and young, to consider joining up. I further believe this act of recognition will serve as an example for other states across this nation in recognizing Peace Corps volunteers. Thank you for the opportunity to testify before you, and I'll be pleased to try to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you very much for your testimony and for your service.
Thank you.
Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. I want to first thank Senator Dimbrough, who is here, for bringing this resolution about, and for your audience. My name is Gordon Young. I live in Carver, Oregon. I was born and raised in Montevilla in Portland, graduated from Portland State, and received an offer to join the Peace Corps. I sold all my belongings, paid off my student loans, and received a letter saying I was going to where? Malaysia? Where's that? Today, as always, since 1961, Peace Corps sends the best and the brightest Americans abroad on behalf of the United States to tackle the most pressing needs of people around the world. Volunteers work at grassroots levels to develop sustainable solutions that address challenges in education, health, economic development, agriculture, environment, and youth development. Through service, volunteers gain a unique cultural understanding and a lifelong commitment to service that positions them to succeed in today's global economy. Since President JFK established the Peace Corps in 61, nearly 220,000 Americans have served in the Peace Corps. Over those 54 years, they've been in 140 different countries. Oregon sits currently number 7 per capita in the country. Eugene happens to sit number 10 in the top metro for supplying Peace Corps volunteers. Today, Malaysia is my second home. I was fortunate then, and in my assignment was that my assignment was not patchy due to communication barriers between governments. Many PCVs arrive on assignment and job description doesn't apply, and volunteer initiative, creativity, and resourcefulness becomes their mantra to win the day. I had completed a BS in management at Portland State with background in running a family manufacturing business and working the fields in agriculture for a local seed company while studying. I was assigned to train state-run agricultural cooperatives in rural Kuala Brong, Terengganu, West Malaysia, focusing on sustainable business practices and marketing techniques. Did I say rural? Then it took 4 hours by taxi, if you were lucky it was the Mercedes-Benz with air conditioning, or bus, over potholed surfaces to reach the state capital, Kuala Terengganu, just to have the opportunity to speak English with someone else. Surprisingly, I walked 2.5 miles every morning learning the benefits of Selamat Pagi, which means good morning, in uplifting both the people that were greeted and me. Surprisingly, it became ritual and as an expectation by many. Years later, upon visiting with friends and obviously with changes in their lifestyles, that ritual expectation was warmly expressed as remembered and longed for again. Malaysia is a Peace Corps success story. It has grown from a rural agriculture economy to a growing middle class manufacturing tiger. That road to Kuala Terengganu today takes 20 minutes. The preferred transportation mode has changed from maybe a bicycle or by foot or a motorbike to personal autos and two in the garage. Peace Corps finished in Malaysia in 1978 due to econometric fit and the Peace Corps charter. Recently, in 2013, a Malaysian mentor came to Washington, D.C. and invited Peace Corps to come back to Malaysia to teach English in the rural kampongs. Malaysians are unwilling to serve in difficult regions today. This was a testimonial to the legacy of the PCV and the three goals of a Peace Corps volunteer. One, the first goal, is helping the people of interested countries in meeting their needs for trained men and women. Through interviews with historians, volunteers, government officials, national and international, you get a closer look at the sometimes patchy, often difficult, but always inspiring development efforts of Peace Corps projects through the ages. We learn how idealism and pragmatism influence the formation of the agency, and how changes in the political climate, changes in Peace Corps leadership, changes in understanding of development, and changes in Peace Corps demographics have affected the efforts toward this goal. We consider what kind of trained men and women are needed and are going into the future. I or we in resolution invite Peace Corps community and others to join us and rally our engines around SR3. Let the dream continue to grow and flourish. Together we can share the story of Peace Corps and its achievements in the future. Thank you.
Okay, thank you all three for your outstanding service to our world and our country, and thank you for your testimony. Are there any questions? Okay, I think you've really said it all. So thank you again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we'll close the public hearing, open a work session on Senate Concurrent Resolution 3. Senator Farioli.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Concurrent Resolution 3 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation.
Senator Farioli has moved SCR 3 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation. Is there any discussion on the motion? Any objection? Okay, motion carries, and we will ask Senator Dembro to carry this on the floor. Okay, and he will. And we'll close the work session on SCR 3 and open a public hearing on Senate Bill 458.
And, excuse me, Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 458 designates February 14th of each year as Oregon Statehood Day.
Great, and it looks like we've got four very patient young women who've been waiting to testify on this, and so they're all up here, and Melissa Richards, Jody Barnhart, Don Turpin, and Siri Garrett, and we want to hear from all of you, and whichever of you would like to go first, just go ahead, introduce yourselves for the record, and give us your testimony.
Great. Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum and members of the committee. I'm Melissa Richards. I am here today as the legislative intern for Senator Brzozinski, and also as a constituent of Senator Burdick and an Oregonian in general, since this bill is about Oregon. I'm very excited to introduce all of you here today to three young women who brought the idea for this piece of legislation to Senator Brzozinski.
What we want to do is how we came up with this idea. We were touring through Oregon on a school field trip, and we found out that Oregon became a state on.
Could I ask you to?
Yeah. Oh, I'm Jyoti Barnhart.
Thank you very much. For the record.
That Oregon became a state on February 14th, and we were surprised that we didn't know that as Oregonians, and so. We found a new appreciation on learning more about Oregon and how it became a state.
I'm Sierra Garrett, and with this appreciation, we've become very passionate about spreading this knowledge throughout all communities in Oregon. And we all believe that we should spend a day not only admiring our significant other, but also our beautiful state.
Hello, I'm Don Turpin. I'm from Eugene, Oregon. We all are, but I feel as though this could benefit our community in bringing us all together and helping us grow more as a unit and less as a part. So bringing all of the different counties and communities as one to realize that our state is more important than we think it is, and it could bring a new light and shine upon everything that we are being taught. And so everybody that comes here or lives here or grows up here knows that February 14th isn't just Valentine's Day, it is also Oregon Statehood Day. Thank you. Any questions?
Questions from the committee? Well, thank you very much. You've done a wonderful presentation. We'll close the public hearing on SB 458 and open a work session on SB 458.
Mr. Chair, I move that Senate Bill 458 be moved to the floor with a do pass recommendation.
Senator Boquist moves Senate Bill 458 to the floor with a do pass recommendation. Any comments on the motion? Further discussion? Any objections? Hearing and seeing none, so ordered. Thank you.
Thank you
very much. Senator Prozonsky has been has asked for the privilege of carrying the bill, so we'll make that so. Close the work session.
Thank you.
And I believe that our work here today is finished. So we finished on a high note. Thank you very much for your
Have
testimony.
A nice day.
Thank you.
High note. Thank you very much for your
Have
testimony.
A nice day.
Thank you.
Finished. So we finished.